Yesterday, Sharaji explained that among the four noble truths, the first two are called Vada Sacca, and the last two are called Vivada Sacca. Dukkha Sacca, the truth of suffering, and Dukkha Smudaya Sacca, the truth of origin of suffering, are based on Vada Dukkha, based on the sufferings which are arising continuously like a stream of current, and thus they are called Vada Sacca. In another word, they are also called Logia Sacca, mundane truth. And the other two, Nirodha Sacca and Magga Sacca, the truth of cessation and the truth of path leading to cessation, they are called Vivada Sacca, as one is the cessation of all the suffering and the other is the path leading to cessation. In another word, they are also called Logodara Sacca, supramundane truth. When one is practicing meditation, one should observe on the first two, Dukkha Sacca and Smudaya Sacca, as their characteristics are prominent. And ordinarily, it can be explained that when one goes on a journey, when one steps on a thorn, or when one trips over, the suffering can be say it is Dukkha Sacca, the truth of suffering. So it's an ordinary way of explanation. And also the craving, wanting to eat good things, wanting to see good things, they are this kind of craving is the origin of suffering, and it is Smudaya Sacca, the truth of suffering. So it can be explained ordinarily, but actually the two truths, Dukkha Sacca and Smudaya Sacca, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, are difficult to be discerned, and thus they are said to be profound. In Pali, it is said dotesa, meaning that it is difficult to be discerned, and thus it is profound. So it is not easy to know the characteristics, the nature of suffering, as it is profound. And it is not easy to discern the nature, the characteristic of Smudaya, the origin of suffering. The other two, Nirodha Sacca and Magga Sacca, the truth of cessation and the truth of path leading to cessation, they are profound and thus difficult to discern. When one is observing the Nama Rupa phenomena, the mentality and materiality, at the moment they are arising, then their characteristics and their nature will be profound. So the nature of Rupa, the nature of materiality, it keeps on changing. From hardness to softness, they keep on changing. Cohesion, flowing, fluidity, stickiness, moist, warmth, heat, cold, lightness, heaviness, stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. And the mentality, the mind, it has the nature of cognizing the object. So it is the nature. But one cannot see the nature or the characteristic of mentality and materiality by just ordinary knowledge. One cannot see the nature and the characteristics, but by practicing, one can discern the nature and the characteristic of mentality and materiality by developing knowledge. And the characteristic of Nibbana, it is not prominent. And the path leading to Nibbana, its nature is also not prominent. And it will not be of any use to be observing the later two of the four sutta, which are Nirodha Sutta and Magga Sutta, because these two sutta, Nirodha Sutta and Magga Sutta, are not the object to be observed. Because Nirodha Sutta should be realized and Magga Sutta should be developed as a cause to realize Nibbana. So in the practice, one should be practicing on the first two, Dukkha Sutta and Smudhiya Sutta. Dukkha Sutta has to be discerned. The truth of suffering has to be discerned. And Smudhiya Sutta, the truth of origin of suffering, has to be removed. Smudhiya Sutta has to be removed. It should be abandoned so that it does not have the chance to arise. So when the yogis are practicing, the characteristics will be obvious to the yogi who practices. And that's why Buddha had given teaching so as to observe, so as to note on the first two sutta, Dukkha Sutta and Smudhiya Sutta. And the late Venerable Mahasi Syaraji also had given talks on the practice, what one should be observing. And according to the teaching of the Buddha, in accordance with the tradition of the late Venerable Mahasi Syaraji, Syaraji has been giving explanation from what he gained from both theoretical and practical aspects. It is said that Gambiro Bidamo Padipaka Vigamanena Subhagato Bhaviya. Even though the Dhammas are difficult to be discerned and thus profound, but when one has removed the opposite mental states, when one has removed them, then the Dhamma will be extremely profound to the person who has removed the opposite mental states. And Saraji explained from practical point of view yesterday. So by removing nivrana, hindrances, the dhammas will be profound to the person who has removed the nivrana, hindrances. So removing of the opposite mental states, are connected, and what is it connected with? What is the removal of nivranas connected with? So it is said that patipakha vikamanam pana sama patipatta, meaning that the removal of the nivrana hindrances are connected with practicing systematically, meaning that by practicing according to the correct method, one can remove nivarana hindrances. So it also implies that without practicing systematically, one cannot remove opposite mental states, one cannot remove nivarana hindrances, and thus the profound Dhamma will not be obvious to the one who does not practice systematically. Removing of the nivaranas are connected with practicing systematically, and it is us systematic practice. What is systematic practice connected to? It is said that sa sadama savana dina, meaning that systematic practice is connecting to learning the method. So the profound Dhamma, which are difficult to be discerned, in order to see the profound Dhamma, in order to make the profound Dhamma obvious to oneself, one should remove nivarana hindrances. Removing of the nivarana hindrances is connected to systematic practice, and systematic practice is connected to sadhamma savana dina, meaning that systematic practice is connected to listening to the discourse, listening to the teachings. In order to practice systematically, one should listen, one should learn the correct method of practice. The learning of the correct method is also connected to faith and confidence in the Buddha who showed the way. And one should have faith and confidence on the benefits of the practice according to the method given. In order to learn the method, one should have faith and confidence in the teacher who found it, in the teacher who guided the way. Having faith and confidence in the teacher, having faith and confidence in the teacher who guided, then one will be able to practice according to the guidance. Without faith and confidence, one will not be able to practice according to the guidance. So that's why one should have faith and confidence in the Buddha who guided the way. And one should also have faith and confidence in the benefits of practice. So one should ask oneself, to which extent one has faith and confidence in the Buddha who guided the way. And there are benefits of Satipatthana practice mentioned in Satipatthana Sutta. The benefits such as purification of the mind and so on. Even if one does not believe in the Buddha who guided the way, it is important for the person to have faith and confidence that the practice can give benefits such as purification of the mind and so on. Most of the people's mind are polluted and dirty. Their mind are tainted with sorrow and grief. And their life is with physical and mental sufferings. So if you subtract, if you remove all the physical and mental suffering, one's life will be very pleasant. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can overcome physical suffering and mental distress. And one can also remove inferior mental states that makes the person morally degraded. And by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can gain the kind of happiness that surpasses the sensual happiness. Having faith and confidence in these benefits of practice, then one will be able to accept. One will be able to accept that this is the correct method of practice, and one will learn the correct method of practice. By learning the correct method of practice, one can practice systematically. By practicing systematically, one can remove unwholesomeness, unwholesome mental states that has been following throughout the round of assistances. So by practicing, one can purify one's mind, one can remove the hindrances that weakens one's knowledge, one can remove the hindrances that pollutes one's mind. So by removing these nivarana hindrances, the mind will be calm, serene, it will be collected, and the profound Dhamma will become obvious to the person whose mind is calm, serene, and pure by removing the nivarana hindrances. In order to have faith and confidence in the Buddha, one should also believe in the benefits of practice. When Buddha was preparing to give discourse in order to make beings remove their defilements, Buddha saw that the beings had very thick layers of defilements. Having thick layers of defilements, it would not be easy for the beings to realize the Dhamma. So Buddha, at first, had some inclination to stay in seclusion without giving teaching to the beings. Knowing this inclination of the Buddha, the Mahabrahma made the request to the Buddha to teach. During that time, Mahabrahma were respected, honored, and revered by most of the people. So people were respecting the Mahabrahma as their god. So when the Mahabrahma requested the Buddha to teach, the beings had high esteem of the Buddha, seeing that even the Mahabrahma, which they thought was their god, had to bow down and make a request to the Buddha to teach. So seeing that Mahabrahma they respected had to make the request, bowing down at Buddha, they came to know that Buddha was no ordinary person, and even their even the Mahabrahma had to treat Buddha with respect, bowing down. So in this way, the beings had high esteem on Buddha, and they had confidence that Buddha, the teaching of the Buddha, is not ordinary. So they awakened their sadha in the Buddha, and they accepted. So that was what happened during the Buddha's time. And nowadays, the ones who have not realized the Dhamma, they do not see the Buddha. Only if one realizes the Dhamma, one sees the Buddha. One should have respect in the Dhamma, knowing the virtue of the Dhamma. One should know that Dhamma is no ordinary thing. It has virtues. And having respect on a respected person, one has faith and confidence, then one will feel the urge to practice. When Buddha was requested by the Brahma, the beings came to know that they should follow the Buddha, as Buddha was the person who was respected by the Mahabrahma. So in the same way, when a respected person recommend a certain person, then one will have faith and confidence on that person. So one awakens one sadha. By awakening one sadha, one learns the correct method of practice. By knowing the benefits of practice, one will build up a strong will to practice. Having the strong will to gain the benefit of practice, one practices diligently according to the method given. So Sharaji expects that the yogis who are here, they have the strong will to gain the benefits of practice, and Sharaji hopes that they are practicing diligently, respectfully. But there is something that Sharaji is seeing now. Sharaji says, yogis have been practicing here for quite some time now, and Sharaji says Sharaji is still seeing some of the yogis are not being mindful. When some of the yogis are doing walking meditation, Sharaji sees them looking here and there. And Sharaji says some of them do walking meditation just as exercising for their health. So as a yogi, when one is doing things, one should do things slowly like a sick person. And when Sharaji sees some of the yogis not doing slowly, mindfully, Sharaji says their mindfulness will not be continuous. And Sharaji even worries whether they are practicing well, whether they are practicing effectively. So just like in the example that Sharaji gave yesterday, rather than guessing this food is sweet, this food is sour, one should chew it properly and one should know the flavor of it rather than guessing it. So in the same way, rather than knowing from theory, one should practice themselves properly. They should practice properly, attentively, so that they know the nature of the Dhamma. And Sharaji will explain how one should practice respectfully. It is the duty of the meditation teacher, who is Kalyanamita, true companion, to be giving guidance accurately, precisely to the yogi. So it is the duty of the meditation teacher to give accurate, precise guidance. And the duty of the yogis is to practice accurately, precisely, according to the guidance given. Only then they will gain benefit. So if the guidance is this way, and if the yogi is practicing another way, not as instructed, not as guided, then they will not gain benefit. If only one practices systematically, one can gain benefit. So if the yogis are not following the instruction and guidance, then they will be taking long, and even though many weeks has gone by, they will not be getting anywhere. They will not be making progress. So just as when one sees the food, one will not know the taste just by guessing, but in order to know the flavor of the food, one should chew it properly. One should pay attention to it so that one knows the flavor. In the same way, it is said, Yathānu Seta Pratipacchante, meaning that one should practice accordingly to the guidance given so that one comes to know the true nature of these objects. So when Saraji was a young monk, Saraji had faith and confidence in the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji, and Saraji practiced. So at the beginning of the retreat, Saraji was not trying hard enough in the beginning, but later on, Saraji practiced diligently according to the guidance given by the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji. So Saraji followed accurately, precisely the guidance given by the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji. So it is very important that the yogis follow accurately, precisely the guidance given. There is law in Vipassana saying that by observing, by being mindful at the moment of arising, one comes to know the true nature. So it is said that at the moment of arising, and when you substitute at the moment of arising by seeing, hearing, then it will become at the moment of seeing. One should be mindful in order to know the true nature. At the moment of hearing, at the moment of smelling, at the moment of touching, at the moment of rising, at the moment of falling, at the moment of bending, at the moment of stretching, at the moment of lifting, moving, placing, one should be mindful so as to come to know the true nature. And the other day, Saraji explained about the striker element, receptor element, and ignition element. So whenever one sees, hears, smells, tastes, touches, rising, falling, lifting, moving, placing, one should be mindful so as to come to know the true nature. So as the law of Satipatthana practice, one should be mindful at the moment of arising. So when it is said at the moment of arising, it includes everything in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. Everything is included in the phrase at the moment of arising. So at the moment of rising, falling, lifting, moving, placing, bending, stretching, One should be mindful so that one comes to know the true nature. So in oneself, the nama-rupa, mentality and materiality, are arising as cause and effect continuously like a stream of current. And the yogi's duty is to be observing, to be mindful, so that one does not miss or one does not fail to note any of these objects. When one is doing sitting meditation, the primary object is rising and falling of the abdomen. Rising and falling is just the name, and the nature involved in rising and falling is stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. And it is rupa dukkha satya, materiality, which is the truth of suffering. And one should be mindful at the moment of rising, falling, and so on, so that one discerns the nature that is profound. When noting such as rising and falling of the abdomen, one needs jhanic factors. It is said that aramana jayati nejayati ti jhana. Aramana means the objects that are arising due to circumstances. And jayati means observing completely on the object that arises, so that the mindfulness covers the whole object without any remainder. So one should note it in such a way that the noting mind should cover, the noting mind should spread and cover the whole object. So observing the object concentrated mind, it's called jhana. Observing very closely, completely, in a concentrated way. There are five factors or six factors of jhana. Among them, the first two are vitakka and vichara. Vitakka is aiming, directing, and vichara is reflection. Or in other words, vitakka is aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object. Vichara means the noting mind rubbing against the object. So whichever one is observing, whether it is samatha or vipassana, one should practice applying these jhanic factors. When one is noting rising and falling of the abdomen, one should aim and direct the noting mind towards rising. Aiming, directing alone is not enough. One should assert ardent effort in the practice. It is called atapa, ardent effort. One should apply ardent effort in the practice. One should not be practicing in cold or sluggish manner, but one should practice with alertness. One should be active, alert, to note the object. One should ardently put effort in the practice. So applying, aiming, directing, and applying ardent effort in the practice, the noting mind will reach the object of meditation. So ardent effort propels the noting mind so that the noting mind reaches the object of meditation. If one does not assert effort, then the noting mind cannot reach the object. If one puts excessive effort, then the noting mind overshoots the target of the object. If the effort is slack, if the person is sluggish and note in a cold manner, then the noting mind does not reach the object, the dodhi mind falls short of the object. In order that the effort should be the right amount, in order that the effort should be just right, one needs to aim and direct. Applying these two factors, aiming, directing, and the effort, the dodhi mind will reach the object of meditation. The dodhi mind will rub onto the object of meditation. When the dodhi mind falls on the form or shape of the abdomen, yogi comes to know the form or shape of the abdomen. When the dodhi mind falls on mode or manner of moving, one comes to know the mode or manner of moving. And when the dodhi mind falls on the nature, such as stiffness, tension, then the yogi will come to know stiffness, tension, and so on. As the yogi notes the object with aim and effort, again and again, continuously, then the noting will be effective, and yogi will come to know the nature, such as stiffness, tension, and so on. So in order to know the true nature, the noting mind should reach the object. The noting mind should fall calm and collected on the object. When the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object, when the noting is effective, the noting mind as if rubs against the object and will know the nature, such as stiffness and tension, and so on. So it is samapatipatti. One is practicing systematically by noting the object with aim and effort. So it is the duty of the yogi. As soon as the object arises, yogi should note it right away by aiming, directing the noting mind, and putting effort. So one should aim the noting mind, and one should put effort to note the object as soon as the object arises. If the yogi is thinking about the object, what it is, why is it, what is it, how is it, then thinking about it, yogi loses to note the presently arising object, and yogi will not know the true nature of the object. So rather than noting right away as soon as the object arises with aim and effort, if the yogi is thinking, then yogi is failing to develop the jhanic factors, and yogi is failing to exert ardent effort in the practice. When the yogi fails to exert these jhanic factors, then yogi is losing sati, mindfulness, yogi is losing samadhi, concentration, and yogi is losing to know the true nature. So if the yogi is not mindful for 1 minute, there will be 60 moments the yogi loses. And it shows that the yogi is not respecting, yogi is not cherishing satipatthana practice. It means that the yogi is not practicing the Dhamma respectfully. Yogi does not have respect on the Dhamma. So this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.